Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, happy Friday, welcome back. We're here tonight, and real quick, before we get started, I want to tell you guys about something really exciting that Dr. Allen has going on. She has a special life scripts class, Who is Running Your Life? Now then, I want you guys to understand that August 6th and September 3rd are both sold out, but Saturday, October 8th, 2016 is still available. So go to wantistore.com and check it out to sign up. Now listen, seating is limited, very, very limited. This is a very small class. So get there, sign up, and see what else is going on. And I'll tell you exactly what it is. 1 day dream interpretation classes. This one is sought after by a lot of our callers. And I want you to know this is an amazing class. Dr. Allen is brilliant. So that is going to be Saturday, October 15th, or Saturday, November 19th. So, Dr. Allen, we're on the air. What do you have to say about these classes?
I love doing them.
They're great.
I'm a natural born teacher and a therapist, but I've been doing these dream interpretations, you know, the dream work.
Yes.
And writing a book with Patricia Eltage on dream work.
Right.
Because what we combine is we combine Carl Jung, we combine Pat Allen, and we combine Eric Byrne, who is the combination for Sigmund Freud. So what I do with dream analysis, I believe, is very creative, and I'm very proud of it. So people like it, and I love teaching it.
You know, I had the great occasion of having you do my dream, and I loved it because I've been having that dream since I was a child. So I think if everybody wants to have that happen for them and they go to this class, they will really and truly enjoy it. And Dr. Allen, I can't believe we're flying through summer. August is almost over.
I know.
And we're coming into September, which is your birth month and
yes,
my birth month.
Oh, happy birthday.
I know. We're just a couple of days apart. You're the 21st. I'm the 23rd.
You're a real Virgo, and I'm a Virgo Libra cusp.
Yes. Okay, so, but here's the exciting thing. September 5th is our first Monday of the month, and September 7th is our first Wednesday of the month. Monday, we're in Culver City at the Culver City Marriott for our Monday night show. You've been doing over 44 years now.
Yes.
And Orange County at the Costa Mesa Center. You can find that information at www.drpatallen.com. You got to see that show. It's great. We got a call.
Good.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do have a question. About the hi bye letter.
Yes.
Is text an okay way to send it?
It's all right. It's just fine, just so you get it through to him. No, I think it's just fine. I want you to just convey the message.
And what is the, like, optimal outcome from sending it? Because, like, if it's kind of long, like, is it not going to be off-putting?
Not really. I'm sure that if he was reading an article in a magazine, he'd read the whole thing. The truth is, the four paragraphs, tomes, tech, whatever, are first, tell him everything you like about him, love about him. The second paragraph was the pain caused by this situation that is happening. And then
can you give me an example of that one?
Well, that's called, see, you send a hi-bye letter when you're splitting up oftentimes, or making amends. So it's not necessarily given for happy days. It's given for painful days that you want to give a life to. So what it is, the first four paragraphs The one which is, I like you because, and the second one which is, oh, it was so painful when you left. And the third one is, I don't want to end a relationship that I like. And the fourth paragraph is, I want a relationship that is long-term, monogamous, and continuous. But those are the high paragraphs. The one that says goodbye is, thank you so much for giving me this painful lesson so that I can work with a Pat Allen or a therapist about what's happening and not do it again in a future relationship. Which very often, if you have an unfinished relationship, the person will think, well, where are you going? We've still got life in it. I'll call you up. I've got people sending hi-bye letters to people they dated in college. It's just, it's a way to keep and give a bridge to the relationship, especially if it's not really terminated.
And what is the response that you would expect to get from it?
Well, here's the responses. No response, which means I'm gone or I'm dead. A response that says, thank you so much for putting a capstone on this relationship, but I'm married now, so that's not available. Another one might be, hey, it's so great hearing from you. Where do you live? Where do I live? Maybe we can get together. Do you see? And the fourth one is, I don't want to ever see you again. It was horrible what we had. And that's the end of it. So it goes from nothing to hostility and all the variables in between. But what it does do is it gives you a chance to signal them that you're not hating them and that you're available because you're ready to move on. Or if they want to stop you, they can call and stop you by saying, don't leave, I want to date you. Okay?
Yeah. And then it's after 8 weeks. Does it have to be at 8 weeks or is like,
well,
10 weeks or 12 weeks? Or?
It can be 12 weeks. The reason it can't be earlier than 8 weeks is that we humans ruminate, feel, think, feel, think, feel, think, feel, think. And while we're doing that, we're working on making a decision based on logic, intuition, and instinct. And so because of that particular process, science has taught me, after I've gone to zillions of CEU classes for my licenses, it's taught me that it takes approximately 8 weeks of rumination to distill a decision, to come up with a bottom line where you are ready to do something. So I ask people that have been basically dumped that they wait 8 weeks for the other person to miss them enough to reach out to them. But if they don't reach out, 8 weeks and the next day, that's when you send the hi-bye, the day after the 8 weeks are finished.
Okay.
Got that?
Well, yeah, will Mercury being in retrograde have any effect on that?
That has an effect on the human being, but doesn't have particularly the effect. It'll maybe, I'm just telling you, 8 weeks is the rumination period of time that I've learned from scientific observation with psychiatrists, doctors, and other therapists.
Okay. So craft the letter, then wait 8 weeks and then send it?
No, you write the letter while you're still bleeding from pain. Capture the specimen before you meet the new man. Do you see?
Okay.
So write the letter, and if you've got a trusted friend or a therapist, read it through that person so that they give you feedback intuitively or instinctively.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Text is an okay way to send it.
It's just communicate. I don't care if you send smoke signals. Just get the message across.
Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller. Okay, if you called in and we missed you, try it back. It's 323-203-0815. And I say that slower because everybody says I say the number too fast.
Okay.
So, Dr. Allen.
What?
Tell me, what have you been up to? What have you been doing this last week?
What I've been doing is I've been working on the book that I'm writing with Robert Storr.
Yes.
Which is From Both Sides Now, about the ambisexuality, the androgyny that goes on between all human beings, based on the work that Carl Jung loved so much, the yin and yang theory of life energy, that men have yang bodies but yin souls.
Right.
And women have yin bodies but yang souls.
Mm-hmm.
And there are four people attempting to negotiate and not intimidate and not seduce each other into a good relationship.
Right.
So he and I are writing that book. And as I just mentioned, I'm also writing with Patricia Eltage the Dream Book, which will incorporate various attitudes, Carl Jung, Eric Byrne, myself, about dream interpretation. Because if you don't bring in the yin and yang, which is a great book, The Yin and Yang Way of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee, if you don't honor Chinese quantum physics, because that's what it is, you're going to miss a lot of reading in your dream work, because you can't read four people into two people.
Right,
it
right.
It doesn't read correctly.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a question. A man was taking me... Oh, well, let's get the call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, hi. Yes, I do.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Miss?
So this is my question. About 2 months ago, you and I, we had a session where we did life script analysis.
Oh, very good.
Which was, yes, it was hugely helpful. It shed light on many, many things. But I've noticed that since then, since a lot of it is about how you grew up, well, how I grew up and my family and my parents, I've almost gotten this, like, obsessive thoughts about it. Now I think about it all the time. And I almost felt like a victim. How do you, what would you recommend that I do that I get rid of this?
My want would be, is this towards a mother, a father, a brother, who?
Mother, father, sister.
Oh, that's what
a
you've got.
Them.
No brothers? You just got one sister?
I have one sister, yes. We don't talk. She's toxic.
Okay, so is your family too toxic for you to be with? Because you obviously, if you're working with me, you're a seeker, and it may be that you're too self-aware to be with drifters, as Napoleon Hill calls people that drift and let other people run their life and don't take responsibility for themselves. So do you fit in your family, or have you outgrown it?
I can't, well, my mom is all right. She's very controlling, but she's okay. My sister,
wait,
I don't talk to her anymore.
My
dad
is right.
Dead, so
wait
problem
a minute.
Solved.
My mom is all right, and she's very controlling. So exactly how do you negotiate with a controller? They tend to intimidate.
With her, I negotiate. I just tell her what my boundaries are, and I just tell her straight up, like, I don't want you doing this or saying this. I'm uncomfortable.
And she obeys
she's
you?
A, 50% of the time, she's
well,
been getting better.
Okay, she's getting better. So what you're saying is, with your mom, she's teachable to a degree that you're comfortable enough 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What about your sister, big sister, little sister?
Big sister,
all
11
right.
years apart.
Is she? Did she learn her skills from your mom?
She, you know... I don't know. She's always been in this, like, poor me mentality ever since I can remember myself.
Wait a minute. That
I
sounds
think,
like she's seductive victim.
Yeah, yeah. That's
well,
what
that's
she
not like your mom. Your mom tends to be intimidating.
Yes, that's very surprising. I don't know where that came from. I don't know my dad very well. I mean, he was never around, so maybe
all
he
right.
was like that. I have no clue.
Well, whatever it is, I'm just saying your mother and sister are not alike.
But they are in some weird codependent relationship. Like, my sister's running around crying and my mom fixes her problems.
Your mother is a boss and your sister is her slave. Do they have a codependent relationship?
I think they do. Yeah.
Pia Melody's book, Codependency No More, very good book. So you're out of the loop, which makes it lucky for you. You're not either intimidating or seductive. Is that true? Do you like to negotiate?
I do now since I've learned your stuff.
Okay.
Before I was intimidating everybody, I think.
So you were like mom.
I think so, yes. Very
All right.
Much.
Well, my suggestion is your birth family may not be your spiritual family, but they are your relatives. And so if you can go to lunch with them once a year, try it.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm in an okay relationship with my mom for the most part. My sister, like I said, I don't talk to her. I just can't deal with her. She's too toxic. Like,
I
spoke with her for 10 minutes a few weeks ago. It took me 3 days to come down.
Okay.
I'm not even exaggerating. It was terrible.
All right, so you found she's too toxic. Well, at least you know who isn't and who is. The secret is, if you want to be a stoic, do not try to play with hedonistic people because they are intimidating and seductive. They want gratification their way, no matter what it costs you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, she doesn't give a shit about anybody. It's amazing.
There's a good book written about Marcus Aurelius, and it's called The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, and it's edited by Forstater, and it's beautifully simplified and very, very stoic, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I heard you mention it. But what do I do about people that I can't change anymore? Like, for example, my dad, he died 11 years ago, and I'm just, after our session, which was helpful, like I said, I kept going back to, like, my childhood. I'm stuck in that crap now. Like, I keep remembering things and how sad it was and, like, how I feel wronged by them and how I was neglected all the time.
Have you thought of coming
I don't think.
To my small life script classes? You came to one, right? Did you come to one life script class?
No.
Where did you get the life script from me? In a private session?
Private session on the phone.
Okay. I want you to understand that I meet with a small group and each one gets to go over what aspect of their script they want to understand more.
The next open class is October 8th.
Oh, I'll come.
Okay, so it's go to the website wantistore.com and look for the text that says more information about upcoming classes and seminars, and click on that, and it'll take you to the two upcoming classes. One of them is that Life Script class, October 8th.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And
I'll definitely go.
What you've done is you've opened the wound. Now we have to drain it and cauterize it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna schedule another session with your maybe
right.
10 in the near future, too. It was hugely helpful.
It's really fascinating to be in a room full of people studying scripts from 9 until 4 on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Oh, perfect.
And I believe, what does it cost? I think it's $100
for that. Let me grab that and take a look for you, Dr. Allen, and confirm that for you. $150 for the live script class. It goes from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's going to be at Dove Street in Newport Beach.
Yes.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, it's economical.
Mm-hmm.
It's long-term, and you can repeat the class until you get the solution.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I'd come to all of your classes. I live in Seattle, unfortunately, so I'll have to...
Okay,
I'll fly for this one, definitely.
We'll do it on the phone. We'll do it any way you need to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
But in the meantime,
all right, thank you.
I'd like you to write a letter to your sister that you'll have and can read to me.
In the meantime, sorry, I couldn't hear. Could
write
you repeat that, please?
A letter to your, a hi-bye type letter to your sister, so that you get it out on in writing, and I approve or don't approve of what you're saying, with the idea of that perhaps we want to send her a letter.
So you want her to read it to you, Dr. Allen, right? You want?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mom had sent her a letter. This was 2 years ago. She sent her a letter basically like that. And
yes.
After, I don't know what she wrote her, but after that she apologized to me for the first time in forever, like in her entire life.
Well,
and
this goes to prove communication helps.
Yeah, but then nothing really changed. I mean, she's still the same person. And I told her, I was like, look, if you have something significant, like if you have a problem or something, like if you need something, call me, but I don't want to hear your crap anymore, so don't bother me, please.
You have a right to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right, we'll do. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, caller.
Surely.
Okay, so callers, I saw a couple of you calling in. 323-203-0815 is that number. And we're looking for your call. So, where were we? We were here.
We were talking about what I did this week.
That's right. And we have a question. Oh, we have a caller. We'll take the caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have to turn your radio down. Caller.
Hello.
Hi, this is John in Los Angeles.
Oh,
hi, John.
John and Denise.
Is she there, too?
Yes.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Denise.
What's shaking you two?
She's making dinner.
Oh, that's nice. So what are you calling about?
I have a question.
What is your question?
You know, Denise is really wonderful. She really allows me to lead in the relationship.
Isn't that nice? And she must respect you.
Yeah,
you
she respects me.
You guys want to be respected and appreciated.
And she better. No, I've been really cherishing her, and she's been responding with a lot of respect.
And that's the
and
same
I'm,
the other
you
way,
know,
right?
Pat, I'm just not used to it.
I got news to you. Do you want to go back to your childhood and repeat whatever mess you were in?
Stop it, Pat. Stop it.
Well,
I don't
want to
go back.
That's the way you're describing it, like your script is negative. Was your script negative? Were you taught not to be you? Were you taught not to feel your feelings? Were you taught not to think your thoughts? Were you taught not to share, keep your mouth shut?
Yes, and yes.
All right. Well, that's counterproductive because you were created by your nature to be you, to feel your feelings, to think your thoughts, and to share them. And there's two ways of sharing. One is nonverbal, that's tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions. And then there's verbal. And I am a transactional analyst, and I like to manipulate people's communication with words. Feelings aren't very negotiable. Usually you end up taking drugs, medicine, and hurting yourself or other people. I like dealing with words because the mind, the brain, uses them to communicate. So how are you communicating with Denise?
Well, Denise is very, very mature. She has quite a bit more experience going around the sun than I have. About 12 years to be exact.
Okay.
And she is she studied you in great detail.
Yes, she did.
And, yes. And it doesn't give me much wiggle room as far
you
as
mean,
my bad habits are
so
growing.
Your bad habits are growing?
They're glowing.
Oh, glowing.
She makes my bad habits glow because she's so well-organized and self-controlled, self-disciplined.
And
she
is that a negative?
She respects me in every way. And
do you want...
Really lovely.
Do you want a broken woman?
Yeah, I'm used to women that are a little bit more needy and less maturity.
I understand
it's
that.
Really,
what is the reason
I'm really enjoying
Denise?
It.
Why are you with her? What is your reason? You're thinking.
Companionship.
Companionship. Excellent. So,
beauty.
What?
Beauty. I love beauty. Companionship. Of course, the polarity.
Yes, her feminine and your masculine.
Her personality. I enjoy her personality, her chemistry, And I like the way she communicates.
Very good. And how long have you been together now?
16 months.
My goodness. Okay, and it's still growing and going.
Yes.
Good. And some days you'd like to have someone who's not as skilled. And the reason for that is you have bad habits from childhood on communicating.
Yes.
Did they negotiate with you, whoever they were, or did they intimidate you with fear or seduce you with guilt? Or a combination of all three?
Combination.
Okay, what was the top level of communicating? Negotiating, intimidating, or seduction?
Intimidation.
By who, mom or dad?
Dad.
Dad?
Yes.
Yeah, Dad, I remember that, yeah.
Okay, and was mom cherishing?
Yes.
All right, so what happened was you were intimidated by father, and then you went to mommy and got your always kissed, right?
Yes.
All right, and did that help you be a man or stay a boy?
I grew into a beautiful, lovely Peter Pan.
That's a boy.
That flies around.
The Peter Pan Syndrome, a very good book. Very good book. So what I'm saying to you is, because your parents' scripts were not balanced, you ended up with the script that was not balanced too. But you're with a woman who's been working on rectifying her script so that any man who wants to be with her, including you, is going to have to speak like a negotiator, not an intimidator, and not a seducer.
Yes. Yes, and I've been working on my negotiation skills and my cherishing skills, and that was my question to you. You know, I really haven't ever led in a relationship. I just kind of showed up, did my thing.
You were a good
boy. And Denise is always like, well, what are we going to do? You know, I'm like, well, let's go golf. She's like, well, do we really got to golf again? And she's asking me to lead. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I know it's not
that,
right.
But you're supposed to say, how do you feel about that? If she says, what do you want to do? And you say, golf. And she goes, what can I do to help you and I feel better about playing golf? Go in the morning when it's cooler? Shall we go to a different park? What? Remember, if you want her to respect you, then you've got to cherish her. That's the exchange.
Okay. Ask her what would make her feel better.
Yeah. Okay. About going and doing what you want.
Okay.
All right.
What else do you like in a good leader that makes you want to respect him? Can you tell me about leaders that you've had, the qualities? And
generosity. You want to give, protect, and cherish us. You understand?
Give, protect, and cherish.
That's exactly right. And you allow us to be passive, patient, and vulnerable. We're supposed to be passive, patient, and vulnerable to your real leadership unless you're immoral, unethical, or illegal, whereupon we call the cops, a doctor, and a lawyer. Okay? So
Yeah.
That's the thing. We want you to be generous, mm-hmm. protective, and cherishing, and we want you to ask us how we feel about the things you want to lead us into or out of or around. Take our feelings into account. And now that
well, thank you for your time. Thank you for your knowledge and wisdom. Kelly, good evening to you. And thank you, Pat, once again.
You're very welcome.
Good evening.
Giving me something
good evening.
To think about.
Good evening, John. Hi to Denise cooking dinner.
Say hi, Denise. Say hi.
Hello, Dr. Pat. Hello, Kelly. Hello. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome.
See, I told you, she's still happy.
Yes, I'm happy.
See, I'm doing my best.
Excellent. You're both doing your
I'm being
best.
Excellent today. Thank right. you, Pat. Good. I really appreciate it. We're going to hook up with you soon.
All righty.
Bye, guys.
That means making an appointment.
Right. That's fine.
Right. Light extended to everyone.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
LVX. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, a man was taking me out 5 times before he asked me to be exclusive. I did a meet and greet with another man who started by saying that we would be friends first, and I agreed. So, when the second man wanted to see me again, I emailed him that I just started to see someone exclusively, and that if it does not work out, I'll be available to date him if he wants and is also available. He emailed me back, reminding me that I agreed to be friends. I could not deny that. He tried twice to get together, but due to work schedules, it did not work out. Can I have some insight onto what's going on in this man's mind?
He doesn't want to have sex with you.
Okay, so what he said was, I wanted to be friends.
So she said it?
He did.
That's what I mean. He only wants to be friends, so... If you have a gap in your friend book,
right.
Remember him.
Oh, okay. Well,
remember, if you're only friends and you're not lovers or you're not going towards marriage, you're equal. You can call him up and ask him to go to lunch. You can do anything from your male or your female side because you're not building anything that would be considered companionship. Or a relationship.
Right.
You can do anything with him you would do with a girl.
I think that's great advice. I think that's a really great thing because a lot of women do think that they can't have male friends, that there might be something more to it.
That's fantasies.
Right.
The only problem is when you get a man that's interested in you, he will say, I don't want you to be seeing that man that you see every month. That's too close for me.
Oh,
you
okay.
You see, I love the concept of David Buss, that dangerous passions,
mm-hmm.
one of them is jealousy. Jealousy indicates territoriality.
Right, right.
Which has got to be present, or you're going to be swingers. Now, I'm not a judge. You want to swing? Swing.
Mm-hmm.
But sharing your sex partner is not a sign of being in love.
Right. That's right.
Okay,
terrific. And let me see, we have another one that's come in.
All relationships are based on friendship to start with, and then they tend to go where they want to go.
Yes. Okay, this lady says, I'm not sure what's wrong with me. I don't know how to take care of a man or how I'm supposed to take care of a man or whatever that means because I want to be feminine and I get the feeling that taking care of a man is masculine or mothering.
Yes.
So I don't know how to be in a relationship because I've been a nurturer and care for person for so long. I'm a mother, and I'm 45.
Okay. Well, at 45, you're entering menopausal, perimenopausal. which means that the estrogen in your system is not going to affect your nervous system as much as it did when you were 35 or 25.
Right.
And so, and for men, periandropause, that's when they're 45 to 55, mm-hmm. and their testosterone is having less of an effect. And their estrogen that's been in their body is making them much more sensitive. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, what was the question? How did I get sailing?
The question was, she's not sure what her problem is. Apparently, she's like an over-nurturer, so she's mothering the man.
Remember what I said a few minutes ago, passive, patient, and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to be receptive, available, and respecting.
Right.
Femaleness is receiving and giving back.
Right. So she's maleness, saying she wants to be female, but she's being masculine, because mothering is masculine.
Very much so.
Okay.
And so I would suggest that she doesn't chase him,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that he chases her for dates, for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know that he's switching into romance when he asks you in some way to stop dating other men.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he may do it like, I saw you're on the internet. I'm not on the internet anymore.
Right.
And the only question to say is, are you asking me to go off the internet? Or whatever the website is?
Right.
Yes. I want to date you exclusively. That's often somewhat of the beginning of a man pursuing a woman romantically.
Ah.
But before that, you easily could be friends, you know, gossip friends over the water cooler at work, whatever.
Right.
Lunches here and there.
So, hey, we got a call, Dr. Allen. Should we grab it?
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. And they're gone. Okay, caller, you're gone. So if you want to call back, 323-203-0815. Okay, we have another one. Gay male. Gay male. I
okay.
am a gay male in my mid-30s. And does duty dating work the same for gay males?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the reason it is, now, for men who are gay,
mm-hmm.
they often jump in the sack and have sex in the beginning, before they've made a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're gay and a man and you want a relationship, I recommend no intercourse,
mm-hmm.
oral and anal.
Right.
Unless you're in a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a female, you basically have to decide whether you want to be the femme or the butch.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's both male and female.
Right.
But what I found in working with men and women that were gay is that in a gay male relationship, they tend to go with the chemistry before the negotiation.
Ah, okay.
And when I work with women, I work with them to not go for the intercourse,
mm-hmm.
you see, before they've got a commitment.
Right.
And interestingly, when I work with gay women,
mm-hmm.
Very often they trade spaces. Like 1 year, one is male, the giver,
mm-hmm.
and the next year, she's a female.
Oh, very interesting.
Very interesting. I found that to be true, where it doesn't happen that way. In the males, the top man, the masculine of the two, generally stays that way.
Right.
And the feminine one stays that way.
So in the lesbian relationship,
yeah.
Do you think that would alleviate the quote-unquote 7-year itch, which for you say is actually a 3-year, really?
Yes, 3.5 years.
Right. So
the 7-year itch is 2 Saturn cycles.
Right. So you think that would alleviate that because of the shift in the dynamic?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. In the shifting, I've learned in the 44 years I've been working with straight gays and lesbians, I've learned that it's normal for lesbians to shift their roles.
Very interesting.
They have the larger corpus callosum as women.
Right.
Left-handed men have a larger corpus callosum, but they've still got the testosterone, estrogen. And for women, when they switch, they tend to be a bit tough on each other.
Right. I can understand that.
And so if I warn them that they need to negotiate time, space, money, and play every year, at least once a year.
Right.
After they've built their beginning contract in the first 3 to 6 months of their relationship, and they negotiate time, space, money, and play, that if they know it's coming, that they're going to want to switch, they won't have to drop each other. They'll just negotiate the switch.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
And you know the standard treatment for men who are in long-term relationships therapeutically, it's get a distracting third male to play with.
Oh. Very interesting. So we've talked about biologically gay males with respect to the wash and the womb.
Yes.
What about biologically gay females? Is it the same premise?
The mother's body, I'm going to say something that's rather ugh. Many times, multiple fetuses are created.
Right.
But when a female is in the womb with a couple of X male fetuses, the Y in the X'd out males impacts her gene pool.
Oh, okay.
And so her brain very often is tilted a little male. Do you see?
Yeah.
We're all females to start with.
Right.
Men, women, whatever. But the continuum of how we manifest it within 8 days, mother's body identifies if it's X or Y.
Right.
Or a combination. We once thought that XYY males would be violent.
Oh, right, 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 right.
And we found that's not so.
Right.
They simply, their fetus absorbed a brother fetus and doubled up on the Y.
Very interesting. And I just saw, did you just read that medical report where they did a surgery on a man? They thought he had a brain tumor, and it was actually his twin fetus in his brain. Not a brain tumor at all, Dr. Allen.
I'm telling you that one fetus can absorb the other one and thus tilt the balance of XX, YY, or XY.
Right. Oh, that just totally confirms what you said with that. That's amazing.
I know that. I've known this for quite a while, but it's such a gross, you know, cannibalistic thing.
It does seem like that, but it's almost, you know, at that point, we're like the animal kingdom in a sense, where
that's
nature.
Right. Right. So 8 days into the pregnancy, mother spots a Y, whether it's there or not there, whether it's in a girl baby or a boy baby.
Right.
And then she puts out what is the SRY gene, which then starts to stimulate testosterone and testes in the people that have Y's in their gene pool.
Right, okay.
And now that could be a girl, that's a cortisone hypoplasic adrenalized female.
Right.
That's a girl with a tilt toward maleness.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
And it could be a guy. You see, this continuum basis, it's such a wonderful piece of information.
It is.
Do you see, I learned it in one of my CEU classes, and I have the document that says you know, this fact that what we think is male and female is really androgyny.
Right.
People say, I'm bisexual. I got news for you. Bisexuality is the demonstration of your androgyny, but we're all androgynous.
Right.
And some of us tilt towards male, and some of us tilt towards female. And Jenner ended up straight in the middle. He lived half his life as a man, and
yes.
Now he's living half his life as a woman. So
exactly.
We could all do it, and I think that as mankind goes on, we're going to see more of this usage of both aspects of our gene pool, of our genomes.
Do you think over the years that the way society and humanity has progressed, that it's more acceptable to, well,
be androgynously bisexual?
Right.
Yes, we know that. Not every state has gotten around to legally document it. Do you
right.
see?
Mm-hmm.
But intercourse is oral, anal, and vaginal. That's three.
Do you think there's an actual rise, or do you think it's just now it's more acceptable, so it's more out in the open?
Yes, that's right.
So you don't? Do you think that
I
it
don't
was,
think I don't.
It
think
was always behind closed doors, in other words, or
and it was behind closed uteruses, and
right.
You see, I choose to believe that our cellular makeups are so creative
mm-hmm.
that I'm not ever going to be surprised at what mankind does. And especially in the area, and I'm coining it now, androgynous bisexuality.
Oh, Dr. Allen, you heard it here first, folks. Dr. Allen has coined another one. And I have a feeling we're going to hear some more about that in your book that you're writing with Robert.
With Robert Storr, called Between Both Sides Now, From Both Sides.
From
We've
Both
had radio
Sides.
Shows. Yeah. And he's going to be on our radio station.
That's right.
He wants to.
Whenever he's ready.
Right.
You know, because I know he's busy, especially with his new Veterans Initiative program, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Robert.
Yes.
Incredibly fascinating.
Helping soldiers, male and female, not kill themselves from the distress of the war zone.
And also, too, one thing I heard that he said was he's really making strides and getting them, you know, the homeless population of United States of veterans that have served this country.
Yes.
And our people is astounding and
mm-hmm.
so heart-wrenching.
Good.
And Robert's really making strides in that area. So suicide prevention for veterans.
This is major, major.
Yeah,
okay.
PTSD for those who've been, unfortunately, damaged.
Right.
So we got that one, because the next part of that question was, okay, Dr. Allen,
yes.
The legalization of marijuana is happening all over the United States. They're seeing amazing results in the state of Colorado with respect to reduction in crime, reduction in prescription drugs and prescription drug abuse, reduction in the use of alcohol and drunk driving arrests. What say you to that?
What I say is, if anything is used discreetly, discriminating, and under medical attention, pot and alcohol have the same issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For people that use them judiciously,
mm-hmm.
no problem.
Okay.
For people that don't, addictions are the result. And remember, there are three stimulants
mm-hmm.
that really drive people addictively. An addiction is basically doing a normal thing abnormally.
Right.
One is sex,
uh-huh.
dopamine. One is money, criminality and misuse of money,
mm-hmm.
dopamine.
Uh-huh.
And then the dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine in our bodies, or buying it in the streets.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely it. We are, once again, right at the end of our time. What have you got to say tonight, Dr. Allen?
I'm going to say the same thing I love to say. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Hey, everybody, remember, go to www.drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen.com. And see what's going on. Sign up for the newsletter. Follow us on Facebook. We're easy to find. And tweet with us, Google Plus. And don't remember, Want iStore. That is where you're going to find the information on the upcoming one-day seminars in person. And that is going to be Life Scripts, Dream Analysis. We love you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.